Everybody that loves the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. Hadn't he been good to us? Bless the Lord. I'll tell you where to turn in just a moment. I want to ask you to pray for a couple of things while I'm here. Hadn't the Lord been good to us?
Amen.
Thank God. I think we've been coming around here, Brother Lawson, twice a year for something about 22 or 23 years. Because Preston wasn't born yet. Me and Jennifer were not able to have children several years. And I remember specifically people praying with us and praying for us about that. I'm feeling a little dangerous, preacher. I got a shout in me today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless the Lord. I got some of that unspeakable joy and full of glory. Bless the Lord. Amen. I'm not an old man when compared to the older men, but preacher mentioned how many years I've been preaching, and I was a lad of 13 the night the Lord called me. And that was 41 years ago. I'm only 54. Now to the teenagers, that's a dinosaur. But to some of you in here, he's still a pup. That would be you ones that are really old. Not Sister Lawson, but maybe Brother Lawson. Hallelujah. 41 years ago, and that's the night I got called to preach. The Holy Ghost fell so hard and so heavy. The Lord started a service at 9. I was in a Bible camp for boys at my daddy's old home church on the side of the hill. Dogwood Valley Baptist Church in Tunnel Hill, Georgia. You know you a redneck if the name of your hometown has more than 6 syllables. And if you're from Tennessee, they can take a 2-syllable word and make her 5 syllables. So we'll go on with it. The Lord fell so hard that night as a missionary preached for a little while to us. Seemed like a regular service, but thank God for regular services. I know Brother Lawson and got a lot of folk that listen on across the world and listen online. We had our camp meeting a week ago. Last weekend, a boy from Milwaukee had come to the meeting. The Lord really helped us. And something that he had heard me say here, and God been working in his heart, and he's going back to Milwaukee and starting a church as of a week ago. Andrew Beaudry, pray for him. And if you're up in there, go help him. I told a lot of folk, and I got neighbors like this. Listen here, I'm a local church man, and you ought to be, because that's where Jesus is.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, there's not a good church in our area. I want to ask you 2 questions. Why doesn't the Lord think enough of you to give you a good church? Number 2, why don't you think enough of the Lord to give him a good church? You ought to find a fellow believer. If there's not a good church in your area, why don't you pray one in? Why don't you find a brother? 2 or 3 of you gathered together. God will send you a preacher.
Amen.
Well, boy's going to Milwaukee to start a church. That night the Lord called me. We had, seemed like a regular service from 7 to 9. And at 9 o'clock, somebody walked in. Well, I'm going to run that by you again. I know y'all, I don't have any soul choir available. White people don't know how to go to church, but we'll do our best with you. We'll try that again. I said about 9 o'clock, somebody walked in. And some smart aleck told me one time, well, the Lord is omnipresent. I guess you didn't read John 14. There's something such as the manifested presence of the Lord. Yes, he's present everywhere. You can take the wings of the morning, dwell in the uttermost part of the seas. You can make your bed in hell. You can rise above the heavens and he'll be there. That's his presence. But there is such a thing as I'll manifest myself unto them and not unto the world. It's why we assemble. Somebody walked in, preacher. The Lord had some business. He must needs go through Tunnel Hill. He's the one that made the hill and man made the tunnel. So when Sherman marched through Georgia, that's where he started, through our tunnel. If we'd have known it, we'd have collapsed it on him. We wasn't quite ready. The Lord had business. If I remember that night, preacher, which we never know what God really does. His ways are past finding out. But they said 36 were saved that night. 7 called to preach. I was one of them. I was 13. My legs had already grown full grown and my torso was still 7-year-old. My head was too large and I had on big plastic glasses because mama was from the 70s. And I stood over there. And the Lord fell on us that night. Oh, dear neighbor. Somewhere about midnight, preacher, I preached my first message. We shouted all over that hill. There's an old boy they'd been praying for, drinking and carrying on, but coming to the church, and he got off work, the carpet mill at midnight, and come in. And this is before cell phones, and nobody had told him. He didn't know a thing. The power of God. We was all over that hill. Had church till 2 a.m. The power of God hit old Rex before he got out of his truck. Got off work at midnight and pulled up there. And when he opened his door, the power of God hit him. And I'm not talking about charismatic foolishness. I'm talking about scriptural stuff. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. Amen. You build your doctrine around the Holy Ghost, you'll be a charismatic and you'll be in all that confusion. You build your doctrine around God the Father, you'll be a Calvinist and all that error, all that heresy. But if you'll build your doctrine around what the Holy Ghost is pointing to and who the Father wants you to meet, if you'll build it around the Son, you can enjoy being a Christian. And I'm not saying other people are not saved. But the Holy Ghost power hit him so hard. I saw it, Brother Lawson, with my own eyes. Saw his truck pull up. Saw him open the door and he hadn't heard a thing. And he couldn't get out of the truck right. Opened that door and the power of God hit him. He slumped down. He didn't take a step, preacher. He slumped to the parking lot on his knees and got saved. There's 20 of us rushed him before he could get started praying good. Amen. I'd like something to break out around here where you'd get rushed by 20 people. And not even notice it. Amen. We need the power of God. Somebody said, well, we've had a little trouble at the church. It isn't every church and it's every other season. You might as well get used to it. That's right. Keep your drama to yourself. The devil's always fought the church. I'm going to tell you where the devil goes to church. He only goes to church where God goes to church. The devil doesn't visit his own churches. He's left them over to somebody to run. Y'all talk to me. He only goes to church where God's presence and God's power is at work. I bless the Lord. Hallelujah. It's feeling a little dangerous, preacher. Feeling a little religious. Woo! I'm walking slow. I come back from England and Scotland and wore the wrong shoes, walked too many miles. I generally just count walking to the mailbox as my monthly exercise. All the skinny people are going to eternity just as much as the rest of us, so I'm not excited about that. Walked too much over there and rubbed a sore on my foot and trying to get over it, so that's why I'm sitting over here, not standing. I was 13, and at midnight, preacher, we was having church till 2 a.m. I found myself in the old brush arbor that my grandfather's built. Preached my first message. Three or four boys was a-sitting there, and the rest of them was a-shouting over that 70 acres. A group of them went up to the hard road and was preaching at midnight on the side of the road. Would you know there was so much God in there that folks were pulling over, opening their doors, and having church with them? At midnight, I wouldn't pull over for nobody now at midnight, especially in Knoxville. It'd have to be God. Preached on that. My little Bible fell open, I guess, 2 Peter 1 or 1 Peter 1. I don't remember now which one. In whom though now ye see not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. First text I ever preached. Preached at midnight in a brush arbor to a handful. You reckon that was a little foreboding of what our ministry would be? Preaching in a midnight hour? To a handful? About the one we hadn't seen yet? Bless the Lord. Preached my first revival at 16. An old preacher in Asheville, North Carolina brought me over to the mountains. Preached 7 sermons there and only brought 5. Thought the meeting started on Monday night and got there on Saturday. They said, you're preaching to the church tonight. We're having a picnic up at the mountain. Then in the morning, he said, you're preaching on the radio at 9 o'clock and then you're preaching church at 11. I was down to 2 sermons before Sunday night. Preached a sermon Sunday night. And Monday, it took me to a preacher's fellowship, and before the revival ever started on Monday night, I'd lost all 5 of my sermons. I had to open up the Bible and call on God. Yeah. Preacher, that was such a powerful revival meeting. It must have shook that whole part of the world, because nobody ever needed another meeting from me for 7 years. Tribulation period before anybody asked me. It must have really helped them, and that particular church never needed another one from me. I just take it that it took. The Lord been good to us. I bless the Lord. Good to have my son here. Stand up, Preston. He's over at the Bible College finishing his 3rd year, preacher. Preston. Y'all helped pray him in around here. Amen. Thank you, son. I remember standing right back there, a preacher about the 7th or 8th pew, and some of your older ladies, one older man, cried with us, prayed with me and Jennifer that we'd have children. Woo! Oh, yes. Yes. Thank the Lord. Y'all better train up your children in the way they should go. It's going to be a mystery and a providence of God. You better hope that they choose to love the Lord. Isn't it interesting? Our camp meeting a week ago, and I'm going to announce it here because I want you to mark her down. We had a lot of folk come down from Tennessee. It'll be February 26th through March the 1st. And I know that's a year away, but mark it down. We started our camp meeting ministry back up, Rome Baptist Temple in Rome, Georgia. 1 hour north of Atlanta. I'm going to start my summer meeting back up too, preacher, for the young people. Somebody got to get them off these laptops and ear pods and get them in the sawdust and the wooden altars. Amen. That's the last weekend in July, 25th and 26th. Mark it down. An old brother used to bring the young people down, sat right over there. We need the power of God. I went by a large Bible college one time, had a big tent set up outside Jacksonville, Florida. Old Dr. Bob Gray was a man of God back in the day. All these modern ministries been turned over to the mega church and the contemporary movement. I come by there and said, get them preacher boys, get them out of them laptops and get them in the sawdust. Our generation needs a visitation of the power of God. Go to Psalm 130. I'll introduce my thought this morning and maybe preach some of it tonight. The Lord's been good to us. Psalm 130. Something I've seen lately. Lord, thank you for Calvary. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the precious Bible. Thank you for the local church body, the family. Thank you, Lord, for a shepherd and a flock. And a flock and a shepherd. Lord, help us in these hours, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all the Lord's people said, amen. Thank the Lord. I remember where we met, Brother Lawson, 24, 23 years ago, over yonder, a little meeting they had going, just went for a little while, rose up and died down, but that's where we met. And then you called me in. It's been a blessing to be around. It's good to be a part of the family of God, isn't it? Amen. Hallelujah. Show you what the Lord's worked in my heart. I preached the Psalms when I pastored in my 20s, pastored down in Florida, age 21 to 29 in it. Seemed like I lived in the Psalms and preached a lot of them. Brother Lawson, I got out in my 30s and 40s and now 50s, and seemed like them Psalms have come back up now, just lately, the last 2 or 3 months. Living in my heart again. Writing down little studies out of the Psalms. Let me show you one the Lord lately put on my heart and feel led to share it all day today, maybe, if the Lord would have his way. In Psalm 130, you're going to see David's anguish. David's anguish. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Psalm 130, and we're not going to dive into it this morning or delve into it, but you see David's anguish. But thank God there is forgiveness. Psalm 131. You see David's anxiety. I'm real careful not to join in with all the secular, humanistic, atheistic psychiatrists of this hour. I don't think they know what the problem with mankind is, and I don't think they know what the solution to mankind is. You hear me now? But I do know that we face great sorrows. Man faces great afflictions. David's anxiety. Look what he said here. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Let me comment right there. Our generation, probably the last generation, is a very haughty generation with lofty eyes. Look, the old Lucifer, Satan, the devil, the dragon, he's going to have no trouble getting this generation to jine up with him and cooperate with him in his last day agenda, because they acting like the devil, some of them, as much as the devil's ever acted like the devil. Haughty and lofty. I'm not going to take the time to go to Proverbs 30, but in the middle of Proverbs 30, four verses in a row, there is a generation. Haughty, lofty, teeth as swords. Pure in their own eyes, and yet not forsaken any of their abominations. If there's ever been a crowd that's pure in their own eyes while wallowing in abominations, it's this hour. There is a generation. Four times in Proverbs 30. And right in that context, he calls for the eagle to come down to the valley and pluck out their eyes. Right in that context, he says, the horse leech hath two daughters, crying, give, give. That's probably them two witch women over there in Zechariah taking that harlot back there to Nimrod, back to the plain of Shinar, back to the Tower of Babel. Proverbs 30 is a fascinating prophetic piece of a proverb. Oh, dear neighbor, this generation we're in, they got microscopes and they can see things that are real small. And they got telescopes and they can see things that are real large. And they can't see the one thing they need to see. They need to see their sin, and they need to see God's Son. Amen. They're not a seeing it out of ignorance. They're a seeing it out of willful ignorance. They're ignoring it. Well, verse 2, Psalm 131. Oh, David's anxiety. Look what he did. He said, I just crawled up like a baby in mama's bosom that's now been filled with milk. Isn't it good to be able to come to church and do what he did in verse 2? Surely, I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. Can I say that we've seen David's anguish, but there was forgiveness. And here David's anxiety, but there is a forever. Ain't you glad there's a hope? Let Israel hope in the Lord. We have a blessed hope. That forth and forever, that's why I'm not too worried about what's going on in the nasty now, because there is a sweet by and by. And he said, like a little baby on its mother's lap, behaved and quieted itself. Oh, I want to say to some of you who are troubled, rest with us. My generation don't know much about old-timey talk, but the bosom of that mother, Solomon said, let me dwell between thy breast all night long. I heard an old North Carolina preacher say that he'd been drawing milk from the bosom, from the Old and the New Testament. Can I get a witness right there? And in that night season, thank God, we can pillar our head in the open pages of God's blessed old book, behave ourselves, and be quieted. I want to tell some of y'all to calm down. The younger generation, chill out. I don't know, that may be outdated. That sounded outdated. I have teenagers and they tell me, that's dead. That's dead talk. That's old man talk. BTW, LOL. I'm working on it. By the time I figure it out, it'll be a whole nother thing, won't it? Some of y'all need to quiet yourself. You need to get in the Word of God. He gave you the Spirit of God. He gave you the Word of God. He gave you a shepherd. He gave you brothers and sisters. You ought to get in the middle of what? He gave you a prayer closet. You ought to behave yourself and quiet yourself like a child that's full and satisfied. David's anxiety that there was a future. Go to Psalm 132. I'm going to point out David's anointing. David's anointing. You can see the word anointed down there in verse 10. For David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. You can see it again in verse 17. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. Verse 1's interesting. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. How he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to mine eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord and habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Lo, we heard of it at Ephratah. We found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. This psalm here goes into a recounting. It seemed that David was an old man now and having some afflictions. He said, Lord, remember David. Now that he's older and having some afflictions, said, remember what he'd done for you when he was a young man. When they made him king and brought him out of Hebron 7.5 years and then set him in Jerusalem. And David said, I'm not worried about my house. I want to build God's house. He said, I'm not going to rest until we get the ark back to where it's supposed to be. Beautiful psalm. We need about 90 minutes to preach it really right. We need some sawdust and a big tent and a couple of soul choirs because y'all are really just sitting there. It's a cross I carry who I'm called to preach to. Oh, dear neighbor. I want to say this, those of you keeping notes. You see David's anointing? There was a field. Down there in verse 6. Down there in verse 6, we heard of it. We found it in the field of the wood. I'm going to just mention my fourth one. Psalm 133, and then I'm going to come back to this one for just a moment. Psalm 133. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
It's like the ointment upon Aaron's beard. It's like the dew upon Mount Hermon flows down, descends down. There, you see David's analogy and how there is a flow. Oh, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And he had two analogies. He said that oil upon Aaron's beard and that dew upon Mount Hermon. I just got that a week ago, preacher. I seen that Psalm 130, 131, 132 about 2 months ago. The Lord burned it in my heart. And just a week ago, the Holy Ghost nudged me on over to 133. And there's an analogy with those two pictures and a flow. Folks, there ain't nothing ever more wonderful than when that dew's flowing down in the church and when that ointment, that oil's pouring down off the beard of Aaron the high priest. Oh, bless the Lord. It's good to be born again into the family of God. I had to go to the foot doctor, preacher. I'm not a tough character. You know these fellas who never complain? I'm the opposite. I share all my, and I even start adding to it. You know, it's not quite as bad as I tell it. But after a while, I believe myself and get to feeling sorry for myself. And now I don't like going to the doctor, but I like talking about how bad a shape I'm in. And the sole purpose is to get empathy and sympathy. And also trade meds. I'll trade anything you got. If it's helping you, it's liable to help. I got some stuff. It's all legal. I mean, as far as I know, that one fella, who knows? But everything else, I'm teasing. Yeah, thank you, sir. I don't know you, sir. I was teasing like that one night about trading medicine with all the old people in the back corner. I said, meet me after the service. And the head of the DEA over two states is a member of that church. And yeah, they said, you can go on back there, preacher, but you'll have a little visitor with you. I said, well, he's liable to be able to help us. Who knows what he's got? But I had to go see the doctor for, I have a little sore, but I'm not going to let you see it because then you won't feel sorry for me. So I had to go to the foot doctor to get, you know, to my little sore there to make sure. Well, Jennifer made me go is what happened. And I got in there and the old boy come in to look at my foot and his name was Aaron Solomon. And I said, sir, I'm a Baptist preacher and I'm feeling pretty good about you being my doctor. He said, well, you're really going to like this, preacher. He said, my middle name is Daniel, Aaron Daniel Solomon. I said, priest, prophet, king. I said, would you like to look at both my feet and my hands and, you know, put one of them things on my heart? Anything you want to do, sir, I'm feeling good about this. I said, your parents didn't put any pressure on you, did they? He said, oh, no. There were no great expectations when I was growing up. Aaron Daniel Solomon. Well, folks, we got a high priest, and when that oil runs down and gets on his beard, maybe picked up that blood from Gethsemane's forehead, joins in that beard that they plucked and gets down to the body and the skirt of his garments and dripped off the skirt where men can plead and tug for mercy. There ain't nothing, and I know that's not good English, but there ain't nothing better than when that oil's running down from the high priest onto the body of Christ.
Amen. That's right.
Oh, bless the Lord. Well, let me make one comment and I'll be done. And I'm not worried about getting you out of here on time. I'm not going to go to the judgment seat and apologize to God for letting all the Americans have their day. You're exactly right. I just finished whenever the Lord lets me know I'm finished. Yes, sir. Americans, they believe it's the Lord's hour, not the Lord's day. Yeah. Yeah. Got to get to NASCAR and got to get to the NBA and got to get to the golf, even though I do DVR the Masters. I mean, full disclosure. But oh, dear neighbor. I watch it Monday when the Lord lets me. Bunch of Americans going to get to heaven, and the Lord's going to ask what all them short, polite services was about. Should have been all day begging him for the kind of trouble we're in. We ought to stay all day in church begging him for help. The kind of trouble our generation's in. Yes, sir. It took him 3 hours to go out in the darkness and get us. We ought to be able to come in and have an hour of prayer, an hour of singing, an hour of preaching. Amen. Oh, bless the Lord. Let me give you this thought out of Psalm 132. Just a thought. We need 90 minutes and a sawdust tent to preach this right. We heard of it at Ephrata. And preacher, I had to study just a minute to discover that that was Bethlehem. Genesis 35. Ephrata, which is Bethlehem. That's where David grew up as a boy. He said, I heard of it when I was a boy. Ooh. Heard of what? The ark. The presence of God. The power of God. The manifested glory of God. Hovering in that holy of holies over that mercy seat where the blood is poured out. Where seraphim and cherubim looked at each other and cried, holy, holy, holy. He said, we found it in the field. There is a field. There is a field. There is a field where they found it. The Philistines, I think 20 years earlier or more, the Philistines had hauled it off that day in battle. I heard Mays Jackson preach out of that passage. Ichabod, four things Israel lost that day when they lost the ark. Of course, he walked through that chapter in Samuel 6. They lost the battle. They lost the glory. They lost 30,000 men. And they lost the ark. They lost his manifested presence. Four things they lost when they lost it. And they lost it because there was sin and idolatry. It was a judgment. Oh, and that... And she named that baby that day. What was she supposed to name it? Benoni? Or Ben, a name that started with B. But she said, and that was Eli's grandbaby. Eli, the old prophet, had sat down on God. And then his two sons laid down with women at the door of the temple. Yep. Anytime God's men sit down, the young men start laying down. And then they had that, she had that baby, that grandbaby, and she said, no, we're not going to name him that. We're going to name him Ichabod. For the glory is departed from Israel. Well, David had a burden. He said, I don't even want to do nothing with my house until I can get God's house like it's supposed to be. You reckon we Americans got a lot to answer for? Somehow we can all fix our house individually, but corporately can't even come together and fix up God's house? Isn't that so? I've often wondered about that, preacher. 26 years of evangelism. I met you right after I started. And I've been amazed. And I'm not just talking about facilities. But I am talking about church facilities. But then spiritual matters. But I'm always amazed at how they have great needs and can't get anything done. And yet somehow each individual man can maintain his own house. It's often cost more than what's at the church house. And yet collectively, corporately, 20 men, 30 men, 40 men can't come together and take care of one place. And yet each man can take care of his own place. I need a little help in here. Who was that? Hosea? Not Haggai. He said, that's the reason your bucket's got a hole in it. Every man going to take care of his own house, and nobody is taking care of my house. David had that burden. He said, I'm not going to do a thing about my house until we're going to go find that ark and get God's power back. David's anointing. But he had a field, and he found it. He found that. They went and found it, and they brought it back and set it up. He danced all the way in. Every six paces, returning that ark. I'm trying to hush now. But do you remember they put it on a cart? The thing shook, and a man too familiar with holy things put his hand on it. I told somebody, Pastor, let's see, 2 days ago, got a terrible church situation going on in North Carolina. And a man asked me about it, and I said, I'll tell you what I would not do. I would not touch that preacher. I would not touch the church. I wouldn't. And if I had to get in a corner and under a pew and put my thumb in my mouth to be quiet and be still, that's what I'd do. There's some holy things that I'm not going to touch for him. And Uzzah put forth his hand and tried to fix things because they were getting shook up. Let me tell you something. God don't need help. He'll knock Dagon over when he wants to knock him over, and he can hold his own ark up. And if the thing falls over, it needs to fall over and kill about 50,000. They moved that lid one time and God killed 30,000 men. We don't carry the ark the way the world does. It's a wearisome thing trying to have church with this generation. You think you got to have all the cute, clever ideas of this world, all the marketing strategies for church to work. We don't put the ark on a cart and pull it with oxen. Levites are supposed to get under it and put it on their shoulder and carry it. You say, that's slower, that's longer, that's not working smarter, that's working harder. Throw away your motivational speaking books and get in the old black book. Honey, the church don't need the Philistines' ideas.
Amen.
I don't care if things are shook up, you leave your hand off of it. David was trying to transport that thing and carry the glory the way the world does. They got somebody killed. He stopped everything, I think, 3 months, that ark parked in the back of Obed-Edom's house. And everything he had was turning to gold. Can I get a witness? Woo! Look at me wanting to preach another half hour. What about somebody wasn't suspecting that God was going to park in their backyard? Woo! Hallelujah. Whoa! David went and prayed and sought the Lord, and obviously he got in the Bible and figured out how to carry that ark, and they brought the Levites in and carried it back. They stopped every six paces and offered blood sacrifices. That's where he got to dancing. It wasn't the boot scooting boogie, it was a holy dance. It wasn't whose bed had your boots been under. It didn't sound like Nashville, it didn't sound like contemporary. I wish they could get me a little witness in here. It's a holy dance. He got to dancing. Michael, that the Bible didn't call her David's wife, called her Saul's daughter. You might be in the family, but maybe you're not. She was looking down from a window and despised him. He struck her barren. Never had a baby. David come in dancing down the streets of Jerusalem. Why would you do that? Same reason. First year I pastored, throwed up a tent that summer. Wished you could have seen it. I was 22. Them old boys. I'm trying to hush now. Y'all doing all right? I found a tape by Joe Parsons preached there in 64. And he said, I'll come back in a generation. Your boys will be long-haired outlaws with arrest records, and your daughters will be defiled out of wedlock. He said, because y'all rebelling against God's man and God's word. And when I got there, it was so. Long-haired rebels, and they probably wasn't two purity girls in that outfit. Right from the down from the prison, Florida State Prison. But there's something about sin, where it abounds, grace doth much more abound.
That's right.
They prayed for 30 years, two old men did, that God would erase Ichabod, and he did. Throwed that 10 up in August, and God said, I don't remember how many, I think. I'm not going to tell you a number, I can't remember. But at one particular point, the whole youth group was piled up like a football huddle. There were 30 boys. And they were piled up like a football huddle, and then they just kept piling up. And one of their old daddies was behind them. And he had never been trained to be too religious. He didn't know say hallelujah. He used the H word, but it wasn't hallelujah. I never will forget it. He was behind them doing a bunny hop. He was shouting because three of his boys was down there getting saved. Chris, Kevin, and I forget the oldest one's name. Craig and Kevin and Chris was getting saved. And he was behind them hopping. And he was saying, hot dog, hot dog, hot dog. I'd like, Lord, you know what he means. Oh, yeah. And the Lord said, that's processed meat. I can't accept that. Anyway, not really. I didn't hear the Lord say that. And he was hopping. That daddy was a dancing and didn't even know he believed in it. I came back from Colorado preaching one time. Preston was two. Jennifer had Preston back there. And another family drove her down. And I got off that airplane. And the way it was, there was actually a red carpet. And it was 100 yards through a little hallway. And that's where they had to stay behind the little rope and wait on me. And they surprised me. And I coming up through there, and my little boy, Preston, wriggled and jumped out of Jennifer's arm before we knew what was happening. And he under that little rope, and here he come, his daddy. He still acts like that now because he wants help with his college bill. It's motivation now. And every third step, he'd leap. Oh, you know, we waited a long time to have babies. So when I come through there, the old lady with a walker, I threw her against the wall. Two little Chinese men, I just ran right over them. This is terrible, Pastor. You need to edit all this. I always get the comments anyway. They'll go get a bunch of them on this. Yeah! Oh, Lord, I tore up through there. I couldn't see nothing but my little boy running and leaping. And you know what I was doing? I was running and leaping. Didn't even know it. And he jumped up in my arms, and we hugged and danced. And then the people I had demolished came on by looking at me, you know. What if the Lord was brought back to our churches and our generation? I'm trying to hush people, but I'm not trying too hard. Oh, my. There's a look in these older men's eyes. I've been seeing it my whole life. These older men of God. They saw this house in her first glory. And what they're having to live with now. The men who saw the power of God in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s. Seemed like there was a great Holy Ghost harvest. And in the 70s, he had strong churches in the South. We've been falling apart ever since. In America. Our own particular history. And these older men, they remember that glory when it filled Solomon's temple. And they're seeing this second built small temple now. There's a sorrow in their eyes. Well, I got news for y'all. If somebody will say, I'm not going to care about my house, I'm going to get God back in his house. Oh, visitation's what we need in this generation. I want you to bow your heads. I want a pianist to come. I'm going to ask the church, if you would stand. And could I ask some moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas to come pray? Could I ask some folk to come and pray? It's in the field. The power of God's out there in the field. Somebody can go find him. Somebody go find the ark. Go find the power. Go find the presence. Get Ichabod erased. Here in the South, a generation that's gone. We're not going to sing. We're just going to play. And we'll have a time of prayer while they play. Who'll come and pray with us? That God be merciful to our generation. God be merciful to our churches. Oh Lord. Lord God, thank you.